Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Charya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, all glorious to some of the devotees, and all glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga, Jai Prabhupada, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Kananda. Namaste Sarasvati Gauravanagachamini Vishishishini Vadipasti Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 2, Chapter 6, Text 19, Purushashuti confirmed. Padeshu sarvabhutani
Padeshu sarvabhutani
Pungsam stiti padovidu
Pungsam stiti padovidu
Amritam shemam abhayam
Amritam shemam abhayam
Trimurdnod hai murdhasu Padeshu sarvabhutani
Padeshu sarvabhutani
Pungsam stiti padovidu
Pungsam stiti padovidu
Amritam shemam abhayam
Amritam shemam abhayam
Trimurdnod hai murdhasu
Padeshu sarvabhutani
Pumsam stiti padovidu Amritam shemam abhayam Trimurdnod hai murdhasu
Padeshu sarvabhutani
not sure the order anymore. In the one-fourth, sarva, all, bhutani, living entities, pungsa, of the Supreme Person, stitipada, the reservoir of all material opulence, vidu, you should know, amritam, deathlessness, shemam, all happiness, free from the anxiety of old age, disease, etc. Abhayam, fearlessness, trimurdhana, beyond three higher planetary systems. Adhaya, exist, murdhasu, beyond the material coverings. Just before I read the translation, Prabhupada, I wanted to mention something from yesterday, because I don't want to interrupt the chain of thought here from Srila Prabhupada, so we can focus on that. I was just thinking of the Sukhita story yesterday, where she was talking about getting arrested in Alabama and the three devotees that were there. I just want to mention I was one of the three. So it was really a very interesting experience, and I was realizing that Krishna serves many purposes. I think she was mentioning that also in everything he does. Obviously, it increased our faith in many ways, but one of the ways it did so was the response we get. You could see how Krishna arranged this whole incident for us to some degree, but more for the others to receive Krishna consciousness. So the rest of the story really is that the judge and also the bailiff as well came and joined us for prasadam. We had a small travel trailer, and my wife, Mother Montrini, was with us, and so she knew we were in jail all night, so she cooked up a big feast in the little trailer we had, and we went down, it was about a block away from the courthouse, and we just got down, there was a knock on the door, and the judge came to see us, and the bailiff came also, and so they sat down, they were really happy to take prasadam, and we had a really nice time talking to them, and you know, we got, as she said, she gave us a card, said if we ever had any trouble here, to give them a call. And then I gave him a Bhagavad Gita, and he pulls out his wallet, gave me $10. So, of course, in those days, we had very little conception, you know, of follow-up, you know, or cultivating people. I never talked to him again. Today, we would have wanted to, you know. Anyway, but it was really a wonderful story. I'm glad that she mentioned it, and because it did really inspire a lot of faith. As you know, it was a small inconvenience for us. They stay overnight in jail one night, big deal. You know, but it's like it was such a nice opportunity for them, you know. And anyway, and actually, as I remember, Sukhita did all the talking. I think she's the one who convinced the judge. You know, she can be very convincing. No, she's a great preacher, and she was a great Sankirtan devotee. Okay. The purport and translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be known as the supreme reservoir of all material opulences by the one-fourth of his energy in which all the living entities exist. Deathlessness, fearlessness, freedom from the anxieties of old age and disease exist in the kingdom of God, which is beyond the three higher planetary systems and beyond the material coverings. Report. Out of the total manifestation of the Sandini energy of the Lord, one-fourth is displayed in the material world, and three-fourths are displayed in the spiritual world. The Lord's energy is divided into three component parts, namely Sandini, Samvit, and Hladini. In other words, he is the full manifestation of existence, knowledge, and bliss. In the material world, such a sense of existence, knowledge, and, existence, knowledge, and pleasure is meagerly exhibited And all living entities who are minute parts and parcels of the Lord are eligible to relish such consciousness in the conditioned stage of material existence. Are eligible to relish such consciousness of existence, knowledge, and bliss very minutely in the liberated stage, where in the conditioned stage of material existence they can hardly appreciate what is factual, existential, cognizable, and pure happiness of life. The liberated souls, who exist in far greater numerical strength than those souls in the material world, can factually experience the potency of the above-mentioned Sandini, Samvit, and Hladini energies of the Lord in the matter of deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from old age and disease. In the material world, the planetary systems are arranged in three spheres called Triloka, of Svarga, Martya, and Patala, and all of them constitute only 1/4 of the total Sandini energy. Beyond that is the spiritual sky, where the Vaikuntha planets exist beyond the coverings of the 7 material strata. In none of the Triloka planetary systems can one experience the status of immortality, full knowledge, and full bliss. The upper 3 planetary systems are called Sattvika planets because they provide facilities for a long duration of life and relative freedom from disease and old age, as well as a sense of fearlessness. The great sages and saints are promoted from the heavenly planets to Maharloka, but that is also not the place of complete fearlessness, because at the end of one kalpa, the Maharloka is annihilated and the inhabitants have to transport themselves to still higher planets. Yet even on these planets, no one is immune to death. There may be a comparative extension of life, expansion of knowledge, and sense of full bliss, but factual deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from old age, disease, etc., are possible only beyond the material spheres of the coverings of the material sky. Such things are situated on the head, Adhaya Murtashu. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Gananjana Selektaya Chaksurun Vitamina Tasmai Sri Padave Namaha Vanchiko Paturvishcha Kribasindhi Vivacha Patitano Pavnibhyo Vaishyavetva Namo Namaha. So we're continuing in this chapter, Purusha Shukta. Now, we have had a lot of description of the material world actually over the last couple, three chapters and all the different energies. But now we're beginning to all start to discuss the spiritual energies as well. Actually, starting from verse 17 through 20, describe the qualities of the material and the spiritual energies. Today, we're hearing a lot about that, the material and spiritual energies, and Prabhupada is talking about how they contrast in many ways. So the purport discusses the structure of the universe, the structure of the material and the spiritual world, and how they are different. So I'm going to talk a lot about that today and some of these technical elements. To be very clear on them, I'm mostly reading from Srila Prabhupada, so there might be a little bit of reading involved, but I think it's better to speak directly from what Srila Prabhupada says about these things because, as I said, they're a little bit technical. So, first of all, the energies. Prabhupada says this material energy, material world, is called the Ekapad Vibhuti, which means it's the 1/4 of the energy of the Lord, whereas 3/4 of the energy of the Lord, the Tripad Vibhuti, is in the spiritual world. So it's interesting to think about the vastness of this material universe is just a very, very small portion of Krishna's total energy. And also, Prabhupada also describes in other purports that it's also 1/4 of the number of living entities are in the material world and 3/4 are in the spiritual world. One thing I was thinking about is we need to understand that this is a relative measurement, because we know that Krishna's energy is infinite. And it's all many times described as an infinite number of living entities. So what is 1/4 of infinity? So basically, it's relative. In other words, there's 3 times as much energy, spiritual energy, as the material world, but both of them are infinite. They're hard to understand materially, isn't it? For a mathematician. But at the same time, this is part of the Achintya Shakti of Krishna, his inconceivable potency. So, first of all, let's talk about the structure of the material world, as Srila Prabhupada was mentioning here in the purport. We know that there's considered to be 14 planetary systems. seven lower, seven higher, and the Earth is sort of in the middle, is a middle planet, which has its advantages and disadvantages. Sometimes it's described as three systems, like here Prabhupada's talking about Bhurloka, Bhuvarloka, and Svargaloka, the lower planetary's middle and the upper planetary systems. Now, in the upper planetary systems called Svarga, of course, Lord Indra is there as the king of the heavenly planets. Also the sun, the moon, these are all part of the heavenly planetary systems. Now, above them, of course, they undergo, you know, through the cosmic annihilation and everything, there's the planet called Maharloka, which is a little more advanced. But it says that the Maharloka is destroyed at the time of the partial annihilation, which is after one kalpa, or one day of Brahma. So they only get to live 4,320,000,000 years, fairly short lifetime. It is probably by cosmic standards, maybe not by our small view of things, because it's a one day of Brahma, and of course that's 1,000 yuga cycles. Yuga cycle is 432,000,000, so 1,000 of those would be 432,000,000, so it's 4,320,000,000. And then above those is the upper, very top planetary systems of Janaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satchaloka, or sometimes called Brahmaloka. Brahmaloka is actually described two different ways. One is the planetary system in the material world of where Lord Brahma is, and sometimes the Brahma Jyoti, the Brahman, is called Brahmaloka, so used differently. Now, the difficulty of that, they actually get to live 311 trillion years. That's the lifetime of Lord Brahma. So remember, you know, we had his day, but then he lives 100 years, so you calculate that all out. And there's some purports where Prabhupada has done actually the multiplication, where you can see it's this times how many days in a month, times how many years. And it comes out 311 trillion years. And then Brahma, and I believe the residents of Brahmaloka, now with Tapa and Satchaloka, they may come when the devastation is coming to Brahmaloka, I believe, and then they all get to go to the spiritual world. So for all of Lord Brahma's hard work after 311 trillion years, at least he gets rewarded. He gets to go back to the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada and his purport really kind of gives us an understanding of the material world. It's really kind of after we go through all this dissection of all the different energies, this is really what we need to know. He says, yet even on these planets, no one is immune to death. There may be a comparative extension of life, expansion of knowledge, sense of full bliss, but factual deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from old age, disease, etc., are possible only beyond the material spheres of the coverings of the material sky. In fact, thinking about Lord Brahma, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita 1.263, Lord Brahma says, I am overwhelmed by the countless duties of universal management. We think it's a great job being, you know, sort of Lord of the universe. No, it's like he's burned out. You know, it's like he's had it. You know, I am overwhelmed by the countless duties of universal management, worrying about the imminent destruction of my planet. I live in terror of the all-devouring end of time. All I want for myself is liberation. So Lord Brahma, who has a wonderful standard of life, lives practically forever, says, I just want to get out. I want to get out of this material world. And of course, he's able to do that. So that's really the point here is, you know, from the highest planet to the lowest, all the places of suffering, you know, Abhrama, Bhuvanaloka, where repeated birth and death occur. Now, once we get to the end of the planetary systems of our universe, what's out there? Coverings. It doesn't just, you don't just go, you know, directly to the, no. It's very well covered. Seven coverings of each universe. And they're described in 6.16.37 Bhagavatam. It says, every universe is covered by seven layers, earth, water, fire, air, sky, the total energy, or mahatattva, and false ego, ahankara. And each is 10 times greater than the previous one. So it's very difficult to penetrate the layers of material universe. We're really pretty well encased in this universe. And of course, only by Krishna's grace and the spiritual energy could we ever get out of here. And there are innumerable universes. I think Sukhita Thuru mentioned yesterday the bucket of mustard seeds. You know, it's described that there's as many universes if you took a whole bucket of these tiny mustard seeds, thousands and thousands of them. That's just as an example. They're incredible, unlimited numbers of universes. So all of this is there. All of this energy, which is only one quarter of the energy of Krishna, is there in this material universe. Now, what happens then? Above all the coverings, there's actually a planet of Lord Shiva, which is kind of in between, kind of like Lord Shiva is, you know, sort of often described. He's sort of in between spiritual. He's connected with the mode of ignorance, but yet he's really also a partial incarnation of Krishna. Anyway, Shadasiva, all that. Anyway, so there's Shiva's planet, and then there is the Viraja River. And that is sort of the boundary, the separating point between the material and the spiritual world. And the causal ocean is there. I've seen some places it's said that Mahavishnu lays down that it is in the Virata River. I'm not sure if it's right, you know, if they're exactly the same or they're next to each other. But at any rate, in Bhagavatam 1.14.35, it says, beyond the material sky, further than we can see with our eyes, and beyond the sevenfold coverings of the universe, there's the causal ocean, which all the universes are floating like footballs. And beyond the causal ocean, there's an unlimited span of spiritual sky, generally known as the effulgence of Brahman. So then comes the Brahma Jyoti, or Brahmaloka, or Brahman, as it's called. So this is spiritual. This is where the spiritual world begins. But of course, this is a impersonal Brahman. You know, the place where jnanis or impersonalists, yogis, etc., may go. But there's no sense of identity there. Anyway, Prabhupada's described many, many times the differences between that. Then what's next? The Paravyoma, the spiritual sky. Now we're there, in the spiritual world. First, of course, is the Vaikuntha planets. And the Vaikuntha planets are planets where Narayan is there, Vishnu, so many devotees are there. They all have four arms. They have bodies, and they look like Vishnu, and et cetera, et cetera. And of course, it's described in places like Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Sometimes we think that, well, maybe that's like a lesser place, but no. The devotees there have Krishna prema. They have pure love of God. You know, they're pure. They're all pure devotees, completely serving Krishna, mostly in that dasya rasa. And then, of course, also the Leela avatars have all their planets there. Planets of Ramachandra, Nrsingadeva, etc. They all have eternal planets. And their devotees, like Hanuman, was in the planet with Ramachandra. Now, after that, we get to the topmost planet. At the very top is Goloka. Goloka is the topmost, most wonderful planet with wonderful qualities. And there's three areas there, of course. There's Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula. And all these pastimes, of course, are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto when Krishna manifested those dhams in the material world 5,000 years ago. But, of course, the originals or the eternal areas are there in Goloka, in the spiritual world. So I'm going to talk next about the manifestation of Krishna's spiritual energy. This is the Tripad Vibhuti, the three-quarters energy, which is the majority of Krishna's energy. And Krishna's original form, of course, is Swayam Bhagavan. That's well established in the Bhagavatam. From the third chapter on, or I'm sorry, 13th chapter, Krishna's two Bhagavans, Swayam. And his one original spiritual energy is often called, well, it's different names, often called the Chit Shakti or the Sarup Shakti. This is his basic energy. This is Krishna. This is himself. And Adi 2.101 says, the Chit Shakti, which is also called Swarup Shakti or Antaranga Shakti, displays many varied manifestations. It sustains the kingdom of God and its paraphernalia. So everything in existence manifests from the Swarup Shakti. And, of course, he has unlimited energies that emanate from the energetic source. Now, in reality, we don't see just Krishna there and then somehow his energy. They're all really together. Krishna's always with his energies. Krishna and his energies are inseparable. So at what point of time, you know, in eternity, was there just, did they manifest in Krishna? We can't even say. You know, because as far as anyone's concerned, they're always existing. The energy and the energetic source, you know, are there together. But they're all coming from that original source, is the point. And then so many energies are there. In Svetashvatara Upanishad, it says, Parashya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shriyate Svabhavika Jnana Bala Kriyacha. The Supreme Lord has multipotencies, which act so perfectly that all consciousness, strength, and activities are directed solely by his will. And of course, that's one of the, I think, takeaways that we get from all of these verses and chapters we've been reading the Bhagavatam, how Krishna is behind everything, how he is the source. And the Bhagavatam, through the first 9 chapters, needs to thoroughly convince us of the position of Krishna, who he is, what he is doing, what his energies are, how he is manifesting, how he's the control of the material and spiritual worlds. Then when we come to the 10th canto and a reading about his wonderful, beautiful pastimes in Goloka and in Vrindavan, we can appreciate, yes, he has all sweetness, love, prema, all that is there, but at the same time, we're talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay? So, there are 3 primary energies. It says, later in the chapter, it says, the Lord is described here as omnipotent by 3 energies. It's called Tri-Shakti-Drik. I'm going to mostly talk from Chaitanya Charitamrita about some of these different energies, which seems to be one of the better sources where Lord Chaitanya describes them kind of sequentially. In Adi 296, it says, the primary potencies of the Absolute Truth are mentioned to be 3, the internal, external, and marginal. By the acts of his internal potency, the personality of Godhead in its original form exhibits the spiritual cosmic manifestation known as Vaikuntha Loka, which exists eternally. By his marginal potency, he expands as the living entities who are part of him, just as the sun distributes his rays in all direction. And by his external potency, the Lord manifests the material creation just as the sun with its rays creates fog. So I thought there was an interesting analogy of the sun, which is Krishna's original, Vishuddhatva energy, and then the sunshine, which is like the living entities emanating from him, and then the prakriti, the material energy, is like fog, which the sun creates, but it obscures everything, and you cannot see clearly in the fog. So the living entities can fully partake of the spiritual energy of Krishna. And this is, of course, one of the wonderful things from us, that it's described how the jiva experiences eternal life and fearfulness and has these qualities. And Prabhupada's mentioning that in the today's purport. The liberated souls, in fact, experience the potencies of Sandini, Sambit, and Haladini. So the spiritual energy, although it's one, the Sarup Shakti, it has the 3 aspects that are being discussed here. The Sandini, the Sambit, and Haladini. Of course, these also correspond with the qualities of Satchitananda, of eternality, full knowledge, and full bliss, manifestation of full happiness, Ananda. So, Adi 62 through 69, these are described. It says, his one spiritual energy, Chit-Shakti, manifests 3 forms, Ladini, Sambit, and Ladini, Sandini, and Sambit. Put them the other way around this time. And the purport, Prabhupada says, in this, his thesis, Bhagavat Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami explains the potencies of the Lord as follows. The transcendental potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by which he maintains his existence is called Sandini. That's the potency of existence. The transcendental potency by which he knows himself, causes others to know him, is called Sambit. So in other words, it's Krishna has full knowledge, but also he enables others, like ourselves, the jiva, to also have knowledge. So even though we are small part and parcels, we also partake of these same qualities, not in a great degree like Krishna, but in a smaller degree, these spiritual qualities. And the transcendental potency by which he possesses transcendental bliss and causes his devotees to have bliss is called Ladini. I'm going to run out. I should be short on time here, I can see. So, anyway, these are your one spiritual energy. The central portion of Sandini is Shuddhasattva. Okay, so his existence, the central portion is called Shuddhasattva, or Krishna's existence rests upon it. So his basic creation is from the Shuddhasattva. It says, the condition of pure goodness, Shuddhasattva, in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed without any covering, is called Vasudeva. And that pure state of the Supreme Godhead, who is beyond the material senses and who is known as Vasudeva, is perceived by my mind. And, of course, the Vasudeva state, or the Shuddhasattva, is the state of pure original position in the living entity. The state of existence is Shuddhasattva, transcendental to material qualities. And Prabhupada is purport says, this is called Shuddhasattva because in that stage, the Supreme Person Krishna is revealed in the heart of the devotee. Okay? In Majjha 21.100, in the teachings of Sanatana Goswami, it said, Lord Chaitanya says, to exhibit the strength of his own spiritual potency, Lord Krishna manifested a form just suitable for his pastimes in the material world. This form was wonderful even for him and was the supreme abode of the wealth of good fortune. Its limbs were so beautiful they increased the beauty of the ornaments worn on different parts of his body. The transcendental form of Krishna is shown to the world by Lord Krishna's internal spiritual energy, which is a transformation of pure goodness. This jewel-like form is the most confidential treasure of the devotees, and the form is manifested from Krishna's eternal pastimes. So this is discussing how these pure spiritual energies will sometimes manifest within this material world, as Krishna does. And of course, the Samvit is the potency of knowledge. I'm reading from verse 67. Supreme Personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna. All other kinds of knowledge, such as knowledge of Brahman, are its components. And in the purport, Prabhupada describes that there is three types of knowledge, because they are all, you know, come from originally the chit shakti or the samvit shakti. There's, first of all, he says there's perverted knowledge, which is obviously our sense and our sensory knowledge and our mental knowledge of material energy. So that often is distorted and illusory. Then he says there's indirect knowledge, which is based upon the negation or the impersonal realization of Brahman. And then finally, there's direct knowledge, and that's the highest form of the Samvit, the personal knowledge of Krishna Bhagavan. So by these different energies, one can have increasingly high, different realizations of Krishna. If one only has the Sandini potency or knowledge of that, that's existence. So that obviously is like the jnani who would know Brahman, and personal understanding would be only knowing understanding the Sandini potency. If one adds the Samvit potency of knowledge, then one could have Paramatma realization, because the Paramatma is the one who gives knowledge in the heart. And then, of course, to have full knowledge of Bhagavan, one needs the Ladini. This is nicely described by Srila Prabhupada in the purport here to this verse. He says, when the Samvit factor of cognition is enlightened by the Ladini potency of the same internal energy, they work together, and only thus can one attain knowledge of the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan realization. So there needs to be knowledge, there needs to be some understanding, but there must be also Ladini, Ananda. There must be that prema that also comes to understand Krishna as Bhagavan. So in verse 68, continuing, says, the essence of the Ladini potency is love of God. The essence of love of God is emotion, bhava, and the ultimate development of emotion is mahabhava. Sri Radha Thakurani is the embodiment of mahabhava. She is the repository of all good qualities, the crest jewel among all the lovely consorts of Lord Krishna. Okay. I'm skipping through a long section describing Srimati Radharani. Okay. I'll just read this. This is from Majjha 8.155, which is Ramananda Roy's discussion with Lord Chaitanya. It says, the potency called Ladini gives Krishna transcendental pleasure. Through this pleasure potency, Krishna personally tastes all spiritual pleasure. But Krishna tastes all kinds of transcendental happiness, although he himself is happiness personified. The pleasure relished by his pure devotees is also manifested by his pleasure potency. The most essential part of this pleasure potency is love of Godhead, prema. Consequently, the explanation of love of Godhead is also a transcendental mellow full of pleasure. So a couple of points I thought were important here. First of all, devotees relish this pleasure with Krishna through the Hladini Shakti. Although the primary exhibition of Hladini potency is the relationship of Radha and Krishna, still the devotees also partake of that. And the essential part of that the devotees will experience is called Krishna Prema. Okay. So, this brings us to the goal of life. Panchama Purusharta Se Prema Mahadana, Samadhi 7144. Love of Godhead is so exalted, it's considered to be the fifth goal of human life, called Krishna Prema Dana, the treasure of love of God. So, while Krishna Prema is the goal of life, it's not so easily obtained. You know, somehow we've got to get through this material world and all these coverings and all this material energy to be able to get there. And that is what is so important about hearing. Hearing the Bhagavad, of course, chanting as well. But first hearing the pastimes, hearing about Krishna, because these are meant to attract the hearts of the devotees and so that we will serve Krishna. At the very end of the Rasa dance, in chapter 33 of the 10th canto, Shukadev concludes, Krishna manifests as an eternal, human-like form and performs his pastimes to show mercy to the devotees. Having heard such pastimes, one should engage in service to him. So I think that's a very important verse because this is saying that the one on the highest position who's relishing his very high pastimes, having heard them, what is one's response? You know, you just sort of sit and meditate. No, you want to serve Krishna. That's the point. In other words, by knowing Krishna, seeing his beauty, seeing his sweetness, you want to serve him. You want to do something for him. Okay. But the pastimes, of course, have to be understood with the correct understanding. And it's very difficult to fully understand or fully enter into these pastimes. So one is at very high stages of bhava and prema. In Bhagavatam 10.82, it says, O Brahman, how could anyone who knows the essence of life and is disgusted with endeavoring for sense gratification give up the transcendental topics of the Lord, Uttama Shloka, after hearing them repeatedly? So it sounds like, well, if you hear the pastimes, it'd be impossible to give up Krishna. But in the purport, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura says, actually many persons do give up hearing, even after repeated hearing. So how can that be? He says there's two complementary processes that have to be there so that we do not lose that taste for hearing. One is we have to have knowledge. We have to know the essence of life. We have to understand fully who Krishna is, as I was saying before, we can appreciate the pastimes. And secondly, one must be disgusted with the endeavor for sense gratification. Avishana kama marganai. In other words, you have to have, what's the word? Akinchana gotra? For one who is materially exhausted? Yes, right. Well, yeah. In other words, Krishna's he's the shelter of those who are materially exhausted. In other words, you've had enough of material life. You want spiritual life. You want Krishna. The desire has to be there. If one is still very attached to material life, hearing of Krishna will have less effect. It has some effect, of course. All hearing has effect on the soul. But we can put obstacles in the way of that hearing. And Vishnath also talks about offenses, So we have to have some spiritual knowledge, and we have to lose the desire for material life. Then we'll begin to really relish hearing the pastimes of Krishna. And through the practice of bhakti yoga, through the sadhana, hearing, chanting, remembering, etc., and serving, Krishna gradually reveals himself to the devotee. And that process, actually Prabhupada explains it in Srimad Bhagavatam's purport to 4.22.25. He says, the devotee should gradually increase the culture of devotional service by constantly hearing the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These pastimes are like ornamental decorations on the ears of the devotee. By rendering devotional service and transcending the material qualities, one can easily be fixed in transcendence in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was actually the verse. Prabhupada says, Prabhupada's purport, this verse is especially mentioned to substantiate the devotional process by hearing the subject matter. We can increase our propensity for devotional service by hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam by realized souls. The more we hear from realized souls, the more we make advancement in devotional life. The more we advance in devotional life, the more we become detached from the material world. And the more we become detached from the material world, as advised by Lord Chaitanya, the more we increase our attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it starts, of course, with the process of hearing from realized souls, hearing from the Guru, hearing from the spiritual master, from Srila Prabhupada. And then one spiritual life becomes deeper and deeper until one starts to become attached to Krishna, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, the full vision, of course, isn't achieved until higher stages, ultimately up to prema. But the devotee patiently, humbly advances through the stage of bhakti and gradually comes to more and more feelings of, you know, higher stages. Devotees experience ruchi, you know, that there's some taste, some pleasure. I mean, actually, I think almost all devotees do a little bit. Otherwise, you wouldn't stay, right? If there wasn't some taste or some aspect of Krishna consciousness, you know, why would people do it? So some taste starts to come, some attachment, some attraction for Krishna. Those things are all developing for the devotee. And as we become more and more purified, they crystallize and they develop more and more to the point where we are becoming very, very attached to Krishna, to Radha and Krishna, to their pastimes, to their forms, their beauty, sweetness, and one continues to make advancement in spiritual life. So, well, we got all the way from Radha Rupa to Radha and Krishna. Questions, comments? Yes, Madhu Ragamaka.
Thank you, Prabhu. You pointed out that one can develop this hearing, desire for hearing, by knowledge and by material exhaustion. It made me also recall the verse in the first canto, a very beautiful verse. I'm kind of paraphrasing it, that by rendering service to the great devotees, a great standard of service is done, and by such service one develops an affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. By that service, so anyone who is doing any service to Srila Prabhupada, by just engaging in service in this Krishna consciousness movement, they're going to develop an affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva.
That's a very, very wonderful point. And I was actually reading just the other day in the Bhaktisiddhanta by Jiva Goswami, where he was discussing the essentials of how one develops bhakti. And the kind of almost the conclusion of the whole section was by receiving the mercy of the devotees. You know, by receiving the mercy of Krishna's pure devotees, then one is able to progress, as you said, with that attachment to hearing and about Krishna. Okay.
Thank you, Prabhu, for such an inspiring class. It was amazing. You know, when you first come to Krishna consciousness, you hear, it's a very simple process. You just chant Hare Krishna, take some prasadam, and say, but as you get more and more knowledge, it's not so easy. So, I mean, you definitely have to depend upon Krishna, and, yeah, and like Bhagavatamika was saying, the hearing. Otherwise, when you hear the details today, they're covering so many layers and false ego, the last one, how thick is that?
Yeah. I mean, each one 10 times thicker than the other.
So to get rid of this false ego, which is a thing that really holds us in this material world, it seems overwhelming sometimes. Yeah. So I guess we just have to stick and pray for the mercy of Guru and Krishna. and the devotees.
Yeah, that's the really wonderful part about it is it's really all dependent upon Krishna's mercy. I mean, even the process of sadhana, it's not like an automatic thing. You know, I chant so much, I hear so much, and then I get this. No, it's what that does is it qualifies us. It basically shows Krishna, you know, I'm really trying. You know, so, but on our own endeavor, there's, as you said, there's no way. There's no way we could get, especially in Kali Yuga, you know. I mean, we're not great yogis, great meditators, thousands of years like that. But so it's really only the mercy of the Vaishnavas, you know, that we have this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to actually get out of this material world and to be with Krishna again. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
I was thinking, I made a little chart on those potencies. Otherwise, it was like very difficult for me to comprehend.
It's very complicated. Yeah.
So, and in the chart, I back up the sloka that where we come from, that Krishna, that verses that you quoted, Parashya Shakti Vividiva Suyate, Prabhupada quote that lot,
yeah,
I noticed. Tashyabhaya Tashya. So one potency of Bhagavan, so we accept Bhagavan always endowed with inconceivable potency. And one potency has a three manifestation. Each manifestation has a three functions. So then it becomes easier.
Mm-hmm.
So three manifestation is the internal potency, marginal and external.
Right.
And each of them has a three manifestation. That's Sat, Chit, Ananda. But then Sat is the existence in the material world. Like this building, my house, your body, like this. And then we also have a material knowledge. This is also sambhik. And the pleasure that we get, we don't get directly from Krishna, but through his material energy. So that's Ladini also there.
Yeah.
So like this. In Brahmabuddha platform, there's a Brahma Gyan, knowledge about impersonal. Then Brahmananda, the pleasure of some kind of pleasure is there.
Yeah.
But I always had a challenge, like if you lose your identity, how do you know you actually enjoy? just logic, I never found the answer yet.
I thought about that too. You know. Well, apparently it is, Krishna's a cessation of pain. You know, I mean, there's no more pain in the material world. That's one type of pleasure. And
you consider the absence of the material suffering is a pleasure. I mean, you can.
Well, I mean, that is
I guess.
One type of course. That's fairly low level understanding, but anyway.
But my question was in the purport. I noticed twice, Prabhupada, you read that he said that 3/4 is spiritual and 1/4, but he talks about Sandini. Why Prabhupada put Sandini extended? Why not also Sambhit and Ladini?
Yeah,
I was curious.
I think because the Sandini, that's, you know, obviously the potency of existence. So that we're talking about, the existence of the material world, the existence of the spiritual world, and it's also described as some of the manifestations. I had to skip a lot because I had so much here and it's out of time, but it describes that some of the things that come from the Sandini are, you know, his manifestation of his planets, of his some of his other expansions and things like that. So I think that's why that's more quantified. I don't know if the others would be the same or not, and the same, you know, the Sambit and Ladini. But Prabhupada just specifically mentioned the Sandini as far as the three and the one.
I have a tricky question, like in case somebody asks you that, because from this purport I was thinking also,
the creation shows the presence of the potency, whether it's a material or spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Then where is the personality? God shows the presence of the potency, not the personality. So there has to be some kind of like link between the potency and personality. In other words, of course you did read, or maybe your comment was that potency cannot exist separately from potency. So from that angle, I guess.
Yeah, it's all there because the three are all coming from, you know, they're already part of the Chit Shakti or the Sarup Shakti of Krishna. In other words, it's his potencies, it's emanating from him, so it's no separation. You know, really. I mean it's really part of him. He's in control of it. It's coming from him. But I think your question was more like, well, if the Sandini potency is existence, and we see that those going to the Brahma Jyoti are part of that and experiencing that, how is that connected with Krishna Bhagavan? Is that sort of the question as a person?
Because I was thinking Brahmavadis, just all impersonalists, they see the consciousness, but they cannot see the source of the consciousness. Right. But so as a result, they stay like hanging.
But it's described that Brahma Jyoti is the rays emanating from Krishna's body,
Correct. From that angle.
Yeah. So in other words, it's energy coming from him. But it's just kind of it's like if you were looking at the sun, you would know there was some really light there, but you wouldn't be able to, with sunshine, you wouldn't be able to see the form of the sun globe probably. That's probably not a great example, but
no, that's a good example. The source. Source of the potency is the link. So somebody has to see that the sanctioning or inspiration to act is coming from the person.
Could I answer your question or add some information?
Yeah, go ahead.
The Jiva Dharma explains that.
I'm sorry, say it.
The Jiva Dharma explains that. The marginal living entities in our category come from Mahavishnu. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, who are eternally liberated personalities, come from Baladeva. All Krishna's friends in entourage and all, they're not like marginal jivas, but they're not God, so they're sometimes referred to as jivas, but they're not marginal. The marginal living entities come from Mahavishnu, the eternally liberated inhabitants on Krishna Loka.
They're described as Nichasiddha. They're eternally liberated. They're a different category.
They come from Baladeva, and
I don't know too much about that.
I'm looking for a train of thought. I can't hold it, just be patient.
But we have to remember, for our understanding, Prabhupada said those of us who, if we make it back to Godhead, or would be considered sadhana cities, and Prabhupada said, once one goes back, sadhana city and Nichasiddha are the same.
Yeah, but what I still didn't finish. I didn't say the third thing. So you have the marginal living entities coming from Mahavishnu. The inhabitants of Vrindavan come from Baladeva. And the Vaikuntha planets, the eternally liberated souls of the Vaikuntha planets, come from Mahasankarshan. Because he was discussing what is the link between these different living entities and Krishna.
I can't really answer. I don't think I feel qualified to answer that.
No, but I just explained what the link is. That's the link.
No, we're talking about a little difference. We're talking about the presence of the creation. Like when you look at it around, Bhagavad Gita 7.4 says, earth, air, water, fire, ether, these are material composition. But where is the personality here? You see the presence of Maya, but you don't see the Krishna behind you. So he gave the answer that you have to see where she's getting. Of course, first is inseparable. Potency cannot be separate from the potent. And second is inspiration and the instruction sanctioned by the Lord. So that way we see the personality. It makes sense. But you're talking about where the soul is coming.
And you're talking about sort of like the origin of the different jivas. That's a whole different topic. Yeah. Which I just don't feel.
Yeah, I'll get myself in trouble here. But, we're saying coming from an origins, and there's also these descriptions, never was the time when none of this stuff ever not existed.
So, it's a problem with language.
In one sense, we're kind of like, in our present state, projecting how this stuff could happen. And we're bound by a conception of time that's very conditional in our present state. So it could be a very big topic to explore. Though.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. Well, we're not projecting so much when we're just, you know, sort of repeating the scripture.
Oh,
repeating
for sure,
scripture,
but then we provide context
Yeah, but...
I guess... I know what you're saying.
It's kind of like saying
more there than
It's like saying creation. In a sense, nothing's created because everything's always eternally existing. Although the material energy has different transformations, right? So I mean, yeah, language is a problem when we're talking about things beyond material conception. Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we're way over time. Thank you all so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.